Okay, so let's say you want to sue someone, right?
Yeah.
For something they said about you online. Seems pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah.
Well, not so fast.
Nope.
Today's deep dive is all about Burdick v. Superior Court.
Yeah.
This case, it really throws a wrench into the whole idea of online defamation
It
lawsuits.
really does.
And it all comes down to this. Just because someone posts something nasty about you from another state doesn't mean you can automatically sue them in California.
Exactly. And that's what's so fascinating about Burdick, you know, it really highlights these challenges of applying these traditional legal boundaries, right, to the wild west of the internet. I mean, this whole case revolves around two California bloggers, Sanderson and Taylor. They wrote some not so great reviews of this skincare company, Nerium. And Douglas Burdick, he's a consultant for Nerium. He's based in Illinois, though. He kind of hit back, you know, with some allegedly defamatory statements on his personal Facebook page.
Okay, so drama in the skincare world.
Right.
But okay, wait. Burdick lives in Illinois. Why are we even talking about California courts?
Well, you know, because Sanderson and Taylor, right, they felt the sting of those Facebook comments. So they decided to sue Burdick for defamation right here in California.
Oh, wow.
And initially, the trial court sided with them. They based it on something called the effects test.
Okay, the effects test. All right, break that down for me. What is that?
Okay, so think of it this way, right? Imagine throwing a rock across state lines. So
Oh.
even if you're standing in one state, right, if that rock hits someone in another state, well, you can be held accountable in the state where the harm happened, right?
Right.
And that's essentially the logic behind the effects test, you see. If the harmful effects of some action are mainly felt in a particular state, well, that state can claim jurisdiction even if the action started somewhere else.
Okay, that makes sense. So even though Burdick's in Illinois, these California bloggers felt the impact of his Facebook post there. So that's why the initial ruling was in their favor. But I'm guessing it didn't end there.
You got it. You guessed right. It did not end there. Then we've got this Supreme Court case, Walden v. Fiore, that comes into play. And it really clarified, or you could even say it narrowed, the scope of that effects test. Walden emphasized that just because someone feels the effects of an action in a state, that doesn't mean that state automatically has jurisdiction.
Oh, all right.
The defendant's own actions, right? They have to be intentionally directed at that forum state.
Oh, so it's not enough for that rock to just land in California. You have to actually prove the person throwing it was aiming at California.
Yes, exactly. And that's where things get, you know, really tricky in the online world. See, in Burdick's case, the California Court of Appeal, they decided that just because he knew these plaintiffs lived in California, right,
Right.
that doesn't prove he was intentionally targeting California with that Facebook post. I mean, he was posting from Illinois on his personal page, too. And there's no indication that he was specifically trying to reach a California audience. No California hashtags, no targeted advertising, nothing.
Okay, so knowing where someone lives and knowing they might see your post, that's not the same as intentionally targeting them or their state. There has to be more, right?
Right, there has to be more to it than that. You nailed it.
Okay.
And that's why this case is so important for anyone dealing with online defamation, especially, you know, lawyers and law students. It just raises the bar for proving jurisdiction, right? It's not enough to show that the defendant knew where the plaintiff lived. You need to prove that they were aiming their actions at California. So think about like a digital arrow, right? Where's that arrow pointed?
Okay, I see where this is going, I think. So let me get this straight. Someone in Florida, let's say, could post something, I don't know, nasty about me, knowing I live in California, but as long as they're not specifically trying to like get their post seen by people in California, I might not be able to sue them in California court.
Yeah, that's basically it. But, you know, it's important to remember that the court in Burdick, they didn't completely rule out the possibility of California having jurisdiction. What they actually did was they sent it back to the trial court for something called jurisdictional discovery.
Jurisdictional discovery. Sounds like a legal deep dive within a deep dive.
Right.
What is that?
Essentially, what it does is it gives the plaintiffs a chance to, like, dig a little deeper.
Okay.
They can request information from the defendant, things like, you know, social media analytics, advertising data, even IP logs sometimes. And they try to establish, you know, was Burdick intentionally targeting California?
So even if the initial evidence isn't enough, there's still a chance to uncover like those digital breadcrumbs to prove intent, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's huge.
It is. It really is. And it highlights how important it is to understand how these online platforms work, right?
Right.
And how to investigate you know, digital evidence. This is where like traditional legal knowledge meets like the complexities of this digital world we live in.
That makes a lot of sense. So Burdick doesn't totally shut the door on California jurisdiction.
Yeah.
But it definitely requires a more strategic approach, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Plaintiffs can't just rely on the fact that they felt the effects of, you know, whatever was said in California. They have to show a deliberate connection between what the defendant did and the state of California itself.
You got it. Exactly. And that's why Burdick v. Superior Court is such a fascinating case, right?
Yeah.
Especially in this, you know, age of social media, it makes us ask this question, right? How do we apply these longstanding legal principles to a world where information can just like zoom across borders so easily?
This is definitely a lot to unpack, and I have a feeling we're just scratching the surface here. But before we get too deep into the weeds as jurisdictional discovery and, you know, all the details of online evidence, I think we should maybe shift gears a little bit.
It's interesting to think about how Burdick, like, you know, might impact the way lawyers approach online defamation cases going forward. I mean, what kind of evidence are courts really looking for to prove that someone was intentionally targeting a certain state with their online activity?
That is a really great question. It sounds like we're talking about some serious digital detective work here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this is where things get, you know, really interesting, especially for like law students who are thinking about, I don't know, specializing in internet law, right?
Yeah.
Courts are really starting to focus more and more on the defendant's online behavior. Did they use, you know, hashtags specific to California? Did they use any tools for geotargeting to make sure their posts or ads were mainly seen by California residents? What about online forums or groups, right? Were they participating in any that are like specifically about California topics or communities? These are the kinds of questions that lawyers really need to be asking when they're building a case.
So it's not just about what they said, but how they said it and who they were trying to reach, right? Like, it's all about context.
Exactly. That's it. That's it. And that's where, you know, jurisdictional discovery comes into play too. Remember how the court in Burdick sent the case back down to the trial court to allow for this type of discovery? Well, it's really crucial in a lot of online defamation cases because it lets the plaintiff ask for like all sorts of information from the defendant, including, you know, social media analytics, advertising data, and yeah, even those IP logs.
So even if that initial complaint doesn't have like, you know, that smoking gun, right, there's still a chance to maybe uncover evidence of intentional targeting during this discovery phase.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important for anyone who's facing, you know, an online defamation lawsuit to make sure they preserve their digital data. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You never know what might be relevant later on down the line.
It's like a digital paper trail, right? Even if you think you're just like casually posting on Facebook or whatever, that information can come back to bite you later on in some kind of legal battle.
You got it. You hit the nail on the head. And it shows just how important it is for lawyers to really be savvy about digital evidence, right? You see, in the past, it might have been enough to show that the defendant, like, traveled to California or had some kind of business dealings here, right?
Right.
But now, you know, with the internet and everything proving jurisdiction, it often takes a pretty deep understanding of, like, you know, online platforms, data analytics, the whole, all the intricacies of digital targeting.
Wow, so much has changed. Okay, I want to circle back to Burdick for a second, though. You mentioned that the Court of Appeal, they really put a lot of weight on the fact that Burdick's Facebook post was about this product, right?
Yeah.
And this product was sold nationwide, not just in California. Does that mean that, like, what the post is actually about, you know, can also be a factor in figuring out jurisdiction?
Yes, absolutely. You're right on the money there. The actual content of that online communication, it's definitely something they consider. Think of it this way, right? If the content is like really specifically focused on California events or businesses or people, right? Well, that's pretty strong evidence that they were intentionally targeting, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But if it's more like general, you know, like in Burdick, it's way harder to prove that they were aiming their actions at California specifically.
Okay, so let's say like hypothetically, right? What if Burdick had actually like mentioned California in his Facebook post? Or what if he used hashtags about California businesses or places? Would that have been enough to like establish jurisdiction?
That's a great question. It's hard to say for sure, right? I mean, each case is kind of its own thing, and there are a ton of factors, you know, in play. But yeah, those little details would for sure make the argument for jurisdiction a lot stronger, right?
Yeah.
Because it would suggest that they were focusing more on California on purpose. And that's what the courts really want to see in these cases, right?
Yeah. It seems like proving jurisdiction in these online cases is almost like putting a puzzle together, right? Lawyers, they got to find those digital clues, you know, the little things that connect what the defendant did to the state where the lawsuit's filed.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like there's like a one-size-fits-all answer for all this, is there?
I like that, the puzzle analogy. That's good. And yeah, you're right. It's exactly why cases like Burdick are so important. They give us a legal framework, right? A set of like guiding principles, right? To help us navigate all these super complex jurisdictional issues in our digital world.
It really just shows how the law has to constantly change to keep up with technology, right?
Yeah.
But where do we even go from here, though? What are like the broader implications of Burdick for internet law in the future? Because, I mean, the internet is global, right?
Right.
But the law, it's still very much tied to specific places. It's almost like, you know, two different worlds are like crashing into each other.
That's the million-dollar question, right? Burdick v. Superior Court, it's a big deal because it really clarifies the limits of that, you know, effects test we were talking about. It just emphasizes that we need more than just foreseeable harm in the forum state. It's a reminder that even in, you know, the digital age, those basic principles of due process, they still matter. You can't just drag someone into court in California just because their online actions had some effect here. There has to be that intentional connection, you know what I mean,
Yeah.
between what the defendant did and that specific state itself.
So in a way, Burdick is kind of like a cautionary tale for everyone, right? Both plaintiffs and defendants in these online defamation cases.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a warning for plaintiffs not to just assume that they can sue in their home state simply because they were harmed there. But it also cautions defendants, you know, against thinking that they can get away with anything just because they're posting from a different state. Everyone needs to be a bit more aware of the potential legal consequences of what they do online.
Burdick really does open up a whole can of worms when it comes to like jurisdiction in the digital age, you know. I feel like we've just scratched the surface here.
I think we have, and it's something that we'll just have to keep talking about and litigating, you know. As the internet keeps changing and our lives get even more intertwined with all this digital stuff, what was once, like, you know, a clear-cut jurisdictional issue a few years ago, well, today it could be totally different, a real gray area.
It's like we're always playing catch up. As soon as we think we've got the rules figured out, the game changes again.
That's a good way to put it. And it just shows how important it is for lawyers to stay on top of all the latest stuff in internet law, you know?
Right.
What might have worked yesterday might not work today, and what works today might not work tomorrow.
So it sounds like Burdick really kind of throws a wrench into things for anyone hoping to use California courts to, you know, address online defamation that comes from out of state.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. And it's something a lot of legal folks are worried about, too. Burdick definitely raises the bar when it comes to proving jurisdiction, especially in these kinds of cases. But I wouldn't say it makes California, like, completely off limits, you know?
Okay.
What it does do is show how important it is to have a really strategic, targeted approach. You know what I mean?
Right.
Plaintiffs have to be very careful and show that the defendant was really aiming their actions at California itself, not just that the effects were felt here.
So it's not a total shutdown, but it definitely needs a like a smarter legal strategy.
Exactly. And it's important to remember that Burdick is just one case, right?
Right.
And legal precedent, it's always evolving. You know, future cases, they might clarify these boundaries even more. And, you know, who knows, maybe some new technology will pop up and create new jurisdictional challenges, things we can't even imagine yet.
It's like we're always trying to keep up. As soon as we think we understand the rules, everything changes again.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And it just shows why it's so important for lawyers to keep learning about all the new things in internet law. What worked yesterday might not work today. And what works today, well, it might not work tomorrow, you know?
Right. So for all the lawyers and law students listening, the big takeaway is to be curious, keep learning, and don't be afraid to like shake things up a bit.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to this whole, you know, rapidly changing world of internet law.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And you know, one last thought for everyone. This case shows us that even though the internet is this incredibly powerful tool, right? It's not like a free-for-all. The rules that govern us offline, well, they still matter online, even if, you know, applying those rules gets a little trickier in the digital world.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Burdick v. Superior Court really does give us a peek into the future of internet law. It reminds us that as our lives get more and more intertwined with, you know, the online world, the law has to keep up. It has to adapt, you know? And it's also a wake-up call for all of us to think about what we do online. You know, what are the potential legal consequences of our actions?
It's been really interesting, this deep dive into such a landmark case. I hope everyone listening has a better understanding of, you know, online defamation, jurisdiction, and all the complexities of internet law.
Absolutely. Well, that wraps up today's deep dive into Burdick v. Superior Court. Thanks for joining us, everyone. We'll be back next week with another fascinating case that'll make you think twice about the digital world we're all living in.